listening to the Miracle Word Podcast. We believe that the Word of God gives you the power to experience never-ending increase in every area. If you're ready for revelation that will take you to the next level, you're in the right place. Here's your host, evangelist, author, and founder of Miracle Word University, Ted Shuttlesworth Jr.
Hey, welcome back again this week. We're in this series where we're teaching you on the power of prayer and the purpose of prayer. And every time I think about this, I always go back to that same thought process that after being a disciple of Jesus, I mean, can you imagine walking with him, talking with him every day, watching every miracle he performed? I'm sure there'd be so many questions that you had for Jesus, but really the only thing that the disciples ever taught or asked Jesus about was, Lord, teach us to pray. That was it. That was it. After all the miracles, all the signs, all the wonders, all the messages he preached, teach us to pray. There was some kind of an understanding that they had that what he was doing was coming out of that place of prayer, that origin of prayer. And I can tell you this. I've read books by so many powerful ministers throughout the years that have literally shaken their nation, their generation for Christ, some in heaven, some still alive. They all seem to agree on one thing, and that is that the power of prayer is the deciding factor. It is the catalyst to anything great that God's going to do. Prayer, think of it this way. Prayer is active proof that you have faith in God. And in fact, if you're taking notes, write that down. Prayer is active proof that you have faith in God. If you didn't have faith in him, if you didn't believe in his power and his nature and ability and his willingness to help you, you wouldn't pray. You wouldn't bother praying to someone you can't see. So just the fact that you're willing to pray is active proof that you have faith in God. It's a powerful thought. In fact, it's a convicting thought when you find yourself not praying as much as you should, when you get introspective and say, you know, what's the reason I'm not praying? Is it because I don't believe prayer works? Is it because I don't believe God hears me? Or is it, do I just simply not have faith that he'll help me when I call like the word says he will? And so it makes you introspective, and it's an important question. But prayer is active proof that you have faith in God. And so we're getting ready to get into this week's teaching once again. And I told you that we're going to take the time. I don't know how long this series is going to take. I have notes and content to teach you. So I'm just going to teach you until it's all been taught, because I want you to get all of it. It's all important. It's all found in Scripture. And it's going to take your prayer life to the next level. So in this video, we're going to start the list of 12 keys to answered prayer. 12 keys to answered prayer. And I'm going to break each one down and give you the scripture references and talk a little bit about it, because sometimes people's prayers are not answered. And then they're wondering, well, why didn't my prayers get answered? Well, there are Bible reasons that God answers prayer and Bible reasons that he does not answer prayer. Or we could say it this way, things that keep your prayers from being answered. And so, as we look at these are 12 biblical keys to answered prayer, having your prayers answered by God. And so I'll number these for you. We'll go through them. But take the notes, put the scriptures down, and it'll help you. It'll help you a lot. So number one, the first key to answered prayer is humility. That's number one. Humility, and these are in no particular order, but humility is number one. And I would say that humility is foundational to this discussion. The reason I say that, look with me in the book of James, chapter 4. The reason I would say it's foundational is because of what James wrote regarding humility. James chapter 4, starting in verse 6, and I'll read through verse 8. Listen to this. But he, that's God, gives more grace. Therefore, it says, God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Verse 7, submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Verse 8, draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. So notice here, this jumps out at you right off the bat. God is giving more grace to those that are humble, but he's actively opposing those that are proud. Now that right there will shake you up, because one thing you can be sure of is that you don't want God as your opponent. You don't want God as your opponent. And the Bible says he opposes the proud. What does it mean to oppose someone, to actively work against them? If I'm opposed to that, if I'm your opponent, I am actively working against you. I never want God to be actively working against me in my life. Why? Well, the Bible says if God's for you, tell me who can be against you. But that means the opposite is true. If God's against you, tell me who can be for you. And that's why the devil wants so badly to insert pride into your life. Pride is a killer. It comes in and begins to destroy everything. It's the reason Satan was ejected from heaven, pride. And so we have to work actively, keep pride out. Look at Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 34. Proverbs 3, 34. The Bible says, toward the scorners, he is scornful. But to the humble, he gives favor or grace. He gives favor or grace. But what? Look at the first part. To the scorners, toward the scorners, he's scornful. So notice, and you've probably heard me preach this before, God puts you where you put him. If you honor him, he honors you. If you forget him, did you know the Bible says in the Old Testament, he said, but because you have forgotten me, I'm not just going to forget you, I'll forget your children. So God puts you where you put him. And so here we see the importance of humility. Humility, the Bible says, humble yourself before the Lord, and in due season, he will exalt you. So one thing you can be sure of is that when you make a choice to humble yourself, God sees that choice, and then he decides, the Bible says, to exalt you to a higher place. If you try to exalt yourself, you'll be brought low. But if you bring yourself low, God will exalt you. And one of the things that you have to know is that God's looking to see who are the humble? Who will I show my favor to? And I can tell you that answered prayer is one of the signs of God's favor. When he answers your prayers, you know his favor is on your life. It's being shown to you, shown to your family. When you pray and those prayers are coming back with answers, that's God's favor. And that's, I said this once and I it's important to reiterate it. God shows no favoritism, but he does show favor. That's interesting if you think about it. He shows no favoritism, but he does show favor. What does that mean? The favor he's willing to show to anyone who will meet the requirements. Think of it that way. If anyone meets the requirements, he'll show his favor to him, because he doesn't play favorites. He's not showing favoritism. He's showing his favor. And so it's available to everybody. So that's number one, humility. Got to make sure that's a part of your life. Number two, the second key to answered prayer is that you have scripture to stand on. That you have scripture to stand on. The Bible says in Jeremiah chapter 1 and verse 12, God said, I am watching over my word to perform it. Think about that. I am watching over my word to perform it. That God is not a man, the Bible says, Numbers 23, verse 19, he's not a man that he should lie, or a son of man that he should repent or take back his word. Has he not said it, and will he not do it? Or has he spoken it, and will he not bring it to pass? And so when we stand on God's word, this is eternal. This is inerrant, this is inspired, this is indestructible. And God wants to know that you have faith in his word. So when we pray, notice this, we're not just praying our own will, we are praying by the will of God. Here's a question. How do we know if we're praying by the will of God, because we're praying the word of God. If I'm trying to pray something that's not found in his word, then I'm trying to pray something that's not in his will. I'm going to say that again because it'll help you. If I'm trying to pray something that's not in his word, then I'm praying something that's not in his will. Very, very important that you know that. So you can't try to pray and ask God to do something that contradicts his word or that contradicts his own principles. He'll never answer those prayers, ever. And so I always encourage people, find a verse of scripture of whatever you're believing for. If it's healing, find a healing scripture. If it's deliverance, find a deliverance scripture. If it's for your family, find scriptures that deal with families and stand on those. Make them the source of your faith during your prayer. Quote those scriptures back to God and watch as God answers those prayers for you. Psalm 138 and verse 2, the Bible says, he has magnified his word even above his name. One translation says it this way, you have backed up your word with all the power of your name. So what does that mean? That his word, remember something, someone's word is only as good as their integrity. You know, if somebody blows smoke, if somebody is known to be a liar or they exaggerate the truth, when they start speaking, people don't believe them. It's like, oh, here he goes again. He's blowing smoke. He's exaggerating, making stuff up. That becomes your reputation, that your integrity is shaky because you don't keep your word or you don't tell the truth. But God, as we just read, is not a man that he should lie. So when he says something, he does it. When he speaks it, he brings it to pass. So his word is based on his integrity. He's never been found to be a liar. Jesus was never a false prophet. So if you find it in the word, it is true. No question about it. It is true. The Gospel of John chapter 15, verse 7, John writes, and this is the recounting the words Jesus spoke, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, there it is, you shall ask whatever you will and it shall be done for you. What's the prerequisite? If you abide in me, okay, that's us. And if my words abide in you. So this word has to be in me. How would I even know to pray God's word if I don't know God's word? And so that's the key. Fill yourself with the word. And then when you're praying, use the word of God when you pray. Think like an attorney. I'm making a case for my healing. I'm making a case, not because God has to be convinced, but it builds your faith. And it lets God know, they believe my word. They're standing on my word. They're showing faith in me. I've got to answer their prayers. So number two, scripture to stand on. Find scripture to stand on. Number three, the third key to answered prayer is that you've got to ask by faith with no doubting. See that? Ask by faith with no doubting. Let's look over at Mark chapter 11, very familiar passage. Mark chapter 11. You know, a lot of times when I'm in a revival, I'll ask people to locate their faith. I'll ask them questions so that I can locate their faith. And I'll say, now, do you believe I'm a man of God? Oh, yes. Do you believe that when I pray for you tonight, that God's going to touch you and that you're going to receive your healing? And sometimes you'll get this answer. Oh, I hope so. Well, that's not faith. Faith is not hope, and hope is not faith. I said, well, don't hope so. Do you know so or not? You believe in it or not? Oh, I hope so, brother. No, that's not faith. I prayed for one lady in Texas one time. Power of God touched her. I mean, she had COPD. She was on oxygen. But when I went back and called her out, I asked her that question. I said, now, do you believe that when I pray for you, God's going to touch you? She said, I know he will. That's faith. That's faith. Not, I hope so. Maybe. I know he can. I just, you know. No, I know he will. Boom. She got healed of her COPD, took the oxygen off, went all over that church, danced at the altar, came back the next night, no oxygen. She couldn't even stand before with no oxygen. But notice what happened. She had faith with no doubting before we prayed. Faith with no doubting. Mark 11, 23 and 24, Jesus said, truly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be taken up and thrown into the sea, but does not doubt in his heart, there it is, but believes that what he says will come to pass, it will be done for him. Therefore, I tell you, Whatever you ask in prayer, believe that you have received and it will be yours. There, it will be yours. How do you do it? Ask with no doubting in your heart and it will be yours. That's like the parents that brought their little son to Jesus, who was filled with a demon spirit that tried to kill him often. The disciples tried to cast it out. They couldn't cast it out. And then they bring him to Jesus, and Jesus says to the father, now, do you believe this is going to happen? He said, Lord, if you can do anything, please help us. Jesus said, what do you mean if I can? New Living Translation. What do you mean if I can? Believe. All things are possible to them that believe. What was the father's response? Lord, I believe, but help my unbelief. Jesus was trying to take him from a place of hope so to know so. Amen. Why? Because you've got to have faith with no doubting in your heart. That's more important than anybody could ever understand. In James chapter 1, the Bible tells us that a double-minded man, that's why he said, when you ask God for, and in that case, it's for wisdom. He said, when you ask him for it, don't doubt. Don't doubt in your heart when you ask him. Ask in faith. Why? Because when you have both, a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. And don't let that man think he shall receive anything from the Lord, the Bible says. So doubt is a prayer killer. It's an answer killer. The enemy wants to plant doubt in your heart so that you don't say the right things, so you don't believe the right things. And as a result, you can't receive the right things. So number three, it's a position of faith with no doubting in your heart. Number four, the fourth key to answered prayer is a thankful spirit. A thankful spirit. So vital that you operate in a thankful spirit. The Bible tells us that Philippians chapter 4 and verse 6, with prayer, supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. In everything, let me say it again, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, make your requests known unto God. So it's not just prayer, it's not just supplication, it's with thanksgiving. God's looking for a thankful heart, somebody who's thankful. Look at Psalm 50 and verse number 23. The Bible says, the one who offers thanksgiving as his sacrifice glorifies me. To one who orders his way rightly, I will show the salvation of God. So your thanksgiving literally glorifies God. Your thanksgiving glorifies God. Let me give you Psalm 116 and verse number 17. Listen to this. I will offer to you the sacrifice of thanksgiving and call on the name of the Lord. So sacrifice of thanksgiving. Your thanksgiving, just like your praise, can be a sacrifice, something you offer unto God. And when that thanksgiving, do you know what happened? When Jesus cleansed 10 lepers, he said, go show yourself to the priest. And off they went. And then one of them turned around and came back to give Jesus thanks. And he said, where are the other nine? And that leper didn't respond, but Jesus said, now listen, you go your way, for your faith has made you whole. Every Bible scholar I've read has written here that this one leper didn't just get his healing, but he received a subsequent blessing that the other nine did not get. What was the only thing he did different? Returned with a thankful heart. Returned to thank Jesus for what had happened in his life. That miracle that not only cleansed him of leprosy, but also, as he gave thanks, the Bible says, made him whole. Now, if you know anything about leprosy, it's a flesh-eating disease. So maybe he was missing fingers, maybe toes, maybe an ear, maybe a part of his nose. But the Bible says that after he gave thanks, Jesus told him, your faith has made you whole. And so the fourth key, we would say, to answered prayer is a thankful spirit. It's a thankful spirit. The enemy wants us to become self-focused, self-indulged, and not be a person of thanksgiving. What a mistake. The Bible says, enter his gates with thanksgiving and enter his courts with praise. So we're commanded to be thankful people. But what many people don't know is how much thankfulness opens up to your life. Thankfulness, let me just say it like this. Have you ever done something for someone before and they didn't even bother to say thank you? Makes you not even want to do another thing for them for the rest of your life. Imagine how God feels after he's done things for people and they don't even bother to say thank you. You know, one of the greatest things I ever heard regarding thanks was if you're believing for a miracle in your life, thank God for the last thing he did until he does the next thing. Continue to thank God for the last thing he did before he does or until he does the next thing. The fourth key to answered prayer in your life is to have a thankful heart. So let's go on to number five. In this list of 12 keys that bring answers to prayer, 12 keys to answered prayer, number five, let's hit this one, a premature praise. You say, what does that mean? A premature praise. You know, it's like I was watching bloopers, kind of like sports bloopers. And I came across one, and there's all kinds of these, NFL guys running back an interception for a touchdown. And he starts to get close to the end zone, and he starts to do the high-stepping, and he starts to celebrate early before he ever crosses the goal line and gets the touchdown. Well, he's not even looking, and he's starting to slow down, do all these slick moves as he's headed for the end zone. Doesn't even know there's a defender that's booking it, like coming for him. And before he can get to the end zone, the defender comes behind and just crushes him, and the fumble, you know, happens. And then the other team recovers the ball. What was he doing? He was celebrating prematurely. The touchdown hadn't happened yet. He's already high-stepping. He's already semi-dancing. And in that sense, it's a mistake. But in the kingdom of God, it's actually a victory to have a premature praise. You say, why is that? Because of something the Bible teaches us in Mark chapter 11. The Bible says that we believe we receive when we pray. We believe we receive when we pray. Not when we get the answer, not when we see the manifestation, but when we pray. So if we believe we receive it at the moment we pray, then that means we can start praising God that it's already done. Yeah, but it's like, I don't see it yet. Yeah, but I don't feel the healing yet. Yeah, but I don't see my kids saved yet. Yeah, but I haven't got the job yet. Doesn't matter. You believe you receive when you pray. So because you do, you can start giving God thanks, giving God praise before you see any manifestation. And that, by the way, is one of the prerequisites, or as we're calling it, the 12 keys to answered prayer. I'm thinking specifically in my spirit of one passage, and that's Acts chapter 16, a very famous passage. Paul and Silas are in prison, and the 25th verse of Acts 16 says this, about midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing praises to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. And suddenly, there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were open and everyone's bonds were unfastened. Now listen, did they wait to sing the praises until after the earthquake and the chains fell and the doors opened? No. According to Scripture, at midnight, while they were still chained up, still locked in their cell, in an inner dungeon, they began to not only pray, but to sing praises unto God. Hallelujah. And as they began to pray and sing praises unto God, the Bible says the miracle began to take place. The thing they were praying for began to manifest, and they began to see their freedom instantly. Not just theirs. Notice that. Everyone else is in the prison too. Because every door came open and every chain fell off. And so their premature praise opened the door for the answer to their prayer. And I'm telling you, that's what faith does. Faith starts celebrating after saying amen. Faith begins to celebrate after saying amen. Let that be your story too. Don't let the devil try to steal your joy, steal your praise, because in the natural, it doesn't look like things are good. Who cares what it looks like? Didn't look good for them either. They were in prison in the inner dungeon, locked up, chained up. It was dark outside. It wasn't, they're not sitting around in some revival somewhere in a conference and feeling the Holy Ghost. And no, they're locked up. And they began to pray and sing praises. And everyone heard them, and the answer quickly came. So this is number five on the list, a premature praise. Praise God. Number six, let me give this to you. You've got to have an active confession. Have an active confession. What good does it do to pray all these things by faith and ask God to do them, and then here we go, start to talk against the thing that we believe in for? You know, Father, I just pray you heal my body. I thank you, Lord Jesus, for healing virtue. Then you say amen and come out and say, well, you know, I'm coming down with stuff. You know, I'm always getting sick. You know, I'm just telling you. You know, it's like my whole family. We just always sick. I don't know what the deal is, but I just, here I go again. I can feel it. I can feel myself catching something. It's like, what's the deal? What's your confession going to say? Is it going to line up with your prayer and the word of God, or is it going to line up with how you feel? Rather than saying that, why don't you come up with a faith confession that's based on the word of God? Instead of saying, well, you know, I'm always getting sick. I don't know. I'm always coming down with something. I feel it right now. Why don't you say instead, I've got the same spirit that raised Christ up from the dead living in my body and right now is quickening my mortal body. Right now is healing my mortal body. I thank you, Lord, that right now every virus, every bacteria, everything in me is being destroyed by the power of the Holy Ghost that's flowing through my body. And why don't you start talking like that? I'm stronger than I've ever been because the Holy Ghost is strengthening me right now. My mind is sharp and intact. My organs are functioning as they were created to function. Thank you, Lord. Start talking like that. That's an active faith confession versus just saying what everybody else is saying. I don't know. I've been feeling a little bit of a cough too. I might have COVID again. I'm not sure. I just am starting to feel, you know, stuffy in my head. Stop talking like that. Stop saying what you feel or what you see and start saying what the word says. Amen. Stop saying what you feel or what you see in the natural and start saying what the word says. An active confession is vital. Is vital. The Bible says in Proverbs 18 and verse 21 that death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it will eat the fruit thereof. And so I'm not going to allow myself to speak death over my own life. I'm going to speak life over my family, over my body, over my mind. And so as you're in this place of prayer, let yourself have an active faith confession that what the Bible says is what I'm going to say. Thank you, Lord. By your stripes, I was healed. I'm not going to be healed. I already was 2,000 years ago. Thank you, Lord, that as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Amen. We're not going to have 16 cousins out here in the world and three over here. No, everybody's coming into the kingdom before it's done in Jesus' name. We will serve the Lord. Well, you know, Ricky, he's wild, man. He'll probably never get saved. He's as ornery as they come. No, stop talking like that and speak faith out of your mouth. Number seven, this is the seventh key to answered prayer, and that is holiness or a holy lifestyle. A holy lifestyle. Go with me to Psalm 66 and look what the Bible says. This is David writing. Psalm 66, and we're going to look at the 18th verse. Listen to what the Bible says here. David said, if I had cherished iniquity in my heart, the Lord would not have listened to me. But truly God has listened, verse 19. He has attended to the voice of my prayer. But he said, if I would have cherished iniquity in my heart, the Lord would not have heard me. Iniquity is sin. You can see the same thing over in 1 Peter chapter 3. It says this, and I quote this often at our church. It says, for the eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and his ears are open to their prayer. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. And so there's a key here that sin, you know, the wages of sin is death, but it's not just the eternal wages of sin. There are current wages of sin. You know, if you go and start doing drugs all the time, get addicted to meth, and watch how it won't just send you to hell, a lifestyle like that, but it'll also, that sin has effects in your body that take place now. You don't have to wait till eternity to see the effects of methamphetamine. You can see it quickly in somebody's life, in their body, in their teeth, in their skin. It starts to take effect on your whole body. Anywhere you let sin in, it begins to affect and then destroy. You don't have to wait till eternity. It sends a destructive force. It begins to kill from the onset. And that's why the Bible says, the choir master here, it says, if I had cherished iniquity in my heart, the Lord would not have heard me. So something about it begins to shut you down. In fact, did you know the Bible says in the New Testament, 1 John chapter 1, that if we're faithful to confess our sins, then he is faithful and just to forgive us, cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Talking to Christians. So that shows you it's possible for Christians to sin, that they can also gain forgiveness, come back into fellowship with God, and then that power of sin is broken. That issue that tried to hold them is broken. It's not like you're every time, I know this is a misconception for people. Every time I commit a mistake, then I'm back unsaved again, then I need to get saved. And you get the same people coming to the altar every week for salvation. That's not scripture. No, if we're out of fellowship, if we've broken it, if we've made a mistake, he's faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And so every time you make a mistake, you're not unsaved, then saved when you repent, then unsaved again. Then say, no, it's not how it works. But if you continue to live a life of unrepentant sin, then you can understand that there's a separation between you and your covenant. And then it puts you in that category of 1 Peter chapter 3, where the Bible says that his eyes are upon the righteous, but his face is against those who do evil. And so holiness is a key to answered prayer. Number 8, oh man, here's a big one. Here's a big one. A focused request. Having a focused request. You say, what do you mean by that? I don't believe in unspoken prayer requests, because how do you set your faith for something you don't even know what you're praying for? If someone came to me and asked me, would you please pray for me? Sure, how can I pray for you? Well, I'm believing for this, this, and this. Okay, then I can pray, because then I can look and find scriptures that will agree about what you're praying about. But if you don't tell me, I got an unspoken. How do I know how to pray? What scriptures do I stand on? What am I asking God to do? I don't know. And the Bible tells us very clearly in Philippians chapter 4 that we are to make our requests known unto God. And so when I pray, I'm letting God know very specifically what I'm believing for. There are things that are so specific, and I'm asking him, I'm standing on his word. And so when I do that, it's a focused prayer request. It's a focused prayer request. Amen. It's like when I've told the story before of Dr. Paul Youngi Cho. His prayers were not answered until he got specific with his requests. All he did back when he was first starting out, and there was a lot of poverty everywhere through Korea, he said, Lord, I want in my office, I would like to have a desk, a chair, and a bicycle to go and, you know, meet my members, my congregants throughout the city. No prayer was answered. No bike came, no desk came, no chair came. And he's asking the Lord, you know, Lord, I've prayed. I'm asking, why are we not seeing, why am I not seeing this prayer answered? The Lord said, you never told me what kind of desk you wanted, what kind of chair, what kind of bicycle. And when he got specific, I want a mahogany desk. I want a chair with wheels on the bottom so I can roll around my office. I want a bicycle that's American made. When he started getting specific, he got a call, one of the missionaries that was there. Hey, a ship just came in, bunch of cargo. I think there's some things here you'd want. He said, what is it? He said, we got a mahogany desk here. We've got a desk chair with wheels on it. We've got a bike, American-made bike. As soon as he began to get specific about what he was believing for, God answered his prayer. See, part of it, and I talked about this previously, specificity in prayer also is proof of faith in God. It's also because you don't just believe God can do something. You believe he can do something specific. So God, I'm believing not just for anything, for this to specifically take place. That shows your specificity in prayer shows how much you believe God can do. That's powerful. how much you believe God can do for you. And so it's time to get specific. When you pray, you ought to make a list. You ought to make what we call prayer points, but make it a prayer list. Journal it. And it needs to be specific. It needs to be specific to you. You know, if you're believing for a job, don't just say, Lord, whatever job you have. No, specifically, what kind of job do you want? How much money do you want to make? What are you believing for are going to be the terms and the parameters of that job you're going to receive? Don't just say anything. I tell people this all the time. In the same way that you would not go to a restaurant, look at the menu and say, yes, just bring me dinner. They're going to sit there and look at you like you have the four eyes. They say, what do you want for dinner? Yeah, just bring me dinner. No. There's a menu. Look at it. Determine specifically what do you want for dinner. In the same way with prayer, don't just say anything. If you truly believe that you serve a God that's able to do exceeding abundantly and above all you can ask or think according to the power that works in you, then why would you ask for something small? Why would you come in and ask for something vague? Figure it out. What is it that I want? And then ask God and believe Him. It's coming to pass in Jesus' name. You've got to have specific requests. Amen. And so next week, as we come back into this, I'm going to give you the final four of those keys to answered prayer. And then I want to take you into something that's very interesting. Three prayers that God does not hear. And that blows people's minds. You mean there's actual prayers God doesn't hear? Yes, there are three prayers that God does not hear. And so in next week's teaching, we're going to finish this portion here, the final four keys to answered prayer, and then I'll touch on that other part, three prayers that God does not hear. I'm going to pray for you here in just a moment. I'm telling you, I'm believing that we're going to see such amazing miracles this year that our family, even those close to us, will just shake their heads. Those that know us intimately will shake their heads, be amazed by it. Now, you know, I don't know every prayer request. I don't know everything you're believing for, but join your faith with me and let's pray and believe that God will do things that you've been asking maybe for a long time, but God will bring it to pass quickly. Father, we come to you in the mighty name of Jesus. Thank you for your word. Thank you for the power of your Holy Spirit. Lord, I thank you that you're working already on our behalf and that you're doing what nobody else could do and you're going to get all the glory for it. Now, I pray for those watching. Touch them. These prayers and these requests that they've given you, I pray that, Lord, you'd quickly answer every prayer in the mighty name of Jesus. I thank you, and I give you honor and glory and praise in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.
Now that's the stuff leaders should be made of.